Okay, we're in Hagai.
Good to have Sister Carolyn back with us today.
Well, thank the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, we're in Hagai. Hagai chapter 2, we got down to verse 4. Okay, let's see here. Chapter 2, verse 4. All right, last week, who was left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? And we talked about how they remembered those people that came from the captivity. They remembered the temple that Solomon built, and there was no comparison at all. This one was nothing compared to that one. And that's what that verse was talking about. We went over that last week. Verse 5, verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now you can look at verse chapter 115, 24th of 6th month, the 8th, May, June, July, August, September. 24th of September, look at chapter 2, verse 1, the 7th month. That'd be September, October. So they'd been working the 21st day. They'd been building on that temple about 1 month, roughly 1 month. And they start getting discouraged, and God tells them not to get discouraged. They got discouraged when they compared Solomon's temple, and then they got discouraged when the people around the country there was trying to get it stopped, getting the temple stopped. And they did get a writ from those pagan governors to get it stopped. But God told them to keep on going. And then another governor, he let them do the work, but let them to keep working, but they were discouraged. The problem, they was discouraged. And you take 70 years captivity, you come back to the land, everything's tore down, everything's in a mess. That would discourage you.
Amen.
And plus, some of these people were old. We looked at that last week, the ancient men. Some of them people were in their 80s and 90s. We looked at that in Ezra 3:12. So they was having problems getting started. God told them, even though things look bad, that's what he was, in other words, even though things look bad, keep working.
Yeah.
Keep working. He told them, I am with you.
Yeah,
I am with you. Now, he told Joshua three times in Joshua 1 that he was with him. And in Deuteronomy 31, Moses told Joshua, be strong and have a good courage. That's in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 7, and verse 23 is where he told him that. Now, Christians also need strength and courage.
Right.
Amen.
You say, well, we need strength and courage for? Well, you need strength and courage to witness. I mean, nowadays, I mean, we got it pretty easy here in America. We're pretty wimpy compared to some countries.
Right.
But still, when you walk up on that door at night and you knock on that door, you need some courage to talk to those people.
Amen.
Because you never know what you're going to run into. You never know what you're going to be confronted with.
Amen.
You need courage to do that. And it's God's work. It's not your work. You're just his voice, you're his hands, his feet, and you're supposed to do his work. You need courage, preachers. You need courage to preach. Teachers, you need courage to teach. You say, well, why do you need courage to teach? You try it sometime. Try it. And especially preaching, get up in front of 150, 200 people, and you got a message. And these prophets, they said they had a burden. It's a burden when you get up in front of people, and you're going to tell people they're going to hell if they don't get saved. Mm-hmm. That's a burden. It's a burden, and it causes people to dislike you, really, a lot of times.
Yeah.
So you need courage, you need strength for that. And God gives you the courage, and he gives you the strength by his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You need courage and strength to street preach.
That's right.
You ever been out on the street preaching?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what, that's where you need some courage.
Amen.
Eddie, he street preach, I street preach. It's pretty tough out there sometimes. You need courage and you need strength to serve the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy 2:1. 2 Timothy, let me make sure that that's written. 2 Timothy 2:1.
I'd come in heaviness.
Thou therefore, my son, he was talking to Timothy here, young preacher. But it's good advice for any Christian right here. Good advice for any Christian. Any Christian can take this advice right here. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Now notice he tells you to be strong. He's not going to be strong for you. He tells you to be strong. Some things you have to do, but you do it by the Holy Spirit. So, keep yourself in subjection. The Lord's not going to do that for you. You've got to do that for yourself. But he'll help you do it. Ephesians 6, 10, 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you Christians, if you get out and do something for Christ, you're going to meet confrontation.
Yeah.
You're going to meet resistance, some more serious than others, and you have to have God's strength to do that. Be strong. You have to be strong. You can't get discouraged. 1 Corinthians 6:13. 1 Corinthians 6:13. And God had,
Watch ye.
Yeah. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Quit you like men. That word quit, that's an archaic word. That's in your Bible. That's an archaic word. All that means is be like men.
Right.
Commit yourself like men. Commit yourself. Now, look at 1 Samuel 4:9. Here's some people in 1 Samuel 4:9 that was encouraging herself in the wrong. These were pagan, heathen, unsaved, unbelievers, enemies of God, and they were encouraging themselves to do wrong. 1 Samuel 4:9.
Be strong.
Now, if they can, ungodly people encouraging herself to be strong in wrongdoing. That's wild, ain't it?
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how much it goes on. 1 Samuel 4:9. Somebody got to read it real quick.
Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines, that ye be not servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight.
There's listening. Read that verse in front of that, brother. See what that says.
Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of those mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness.
All right, now there's Israel's enemies, pagans, and they're encouraging themselves to be strong against God, against his people. Now, if they do that, we ought to do that for Christ, right? If they do that for their gods, we ought to do that for our God. When things look bad, we ought to act like men and don't give up. Don't give up. You take these wars over the years, wars on the battlefield, when things looked and looked hopeless, and they was hopeless. Look what unsaved men did for unsaved leaders. I mean, think about that a minute. Out on the battlefield when there was no hope, they knew they was going to die. Some of those missions were suicide missions, and they knew it. And yet they were strong. They obeyed orders. And they done that for unsaved men. Done that for an unsaved president, or an unsaved dictator. Look what those German soldiers done for Hitler.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, man, they walked right in there knowing they wasn't walking out. And they kept strong, and they kept their mind set on it. They kept their face set on it. They acted like men. They didn't give up. They died like men for an unsaved dictator. We got a better commander.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. He's our commander.
More sure word. Amen.
We got a better cause. The gospel. The gospel.
That's right.
And we have a better power. The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. And that's why we need to be strong for the Lord.
Amen.
We need to be strong and not get discouraged.
Amen.
We don't need to be thin-skinned. I mean, some people get a little upset, and the first thing is they quit. Yeah. They go down the road to this church. They quit. We don't need to be thin-skinned.
That's right.
We need to be strong for the Lord. Verse 5, Haggai 2:5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. Now, this covenant was in Exodus 33:1-2. Let's look at it real quick. Now, here's what happened. God, you remember God got upset with Israel. He was going to wipe them out. He was going to kill every one of them. He told Moses, I'll start over with you. Well, Moses talked God out of it. God changed his mind. He repented. The Bible says he repented. He changed his mind. That's what that word means, change your mind. All right? And then he makes a covenant with Israel after he changed his mind about destroying them. And that covenant's in Exodus 33:1-2. Exodus 33:1-2. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the Lord, which I swear unto Abraham, Ishmael. Is that what it says? Ishmael didn't have any part in this thing. Boy, you listen to the news media, you think Ishmael have it all over there in the Middle East right now.
Yeah.
That's not what the Bible said. This is a covenant God made with that with the Moses. Let's see where I'm at. Unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Look at verse 14. This is a covenant God made with Moses and Israel. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Mm-hmm. Boy, you talking about changing your mind. A couple chapters over, God was getting ready to wipe them people off the map.
I mean,
total genocide, only one going to be left, Moses. And he changed his mind. Look at the blessing he poured out on him after he changed his mind. Boy, I'm glad he changes his mind.
Look at that next verse there, brother.
What'd you say?
Look at that next verse.
Yeah, I'm going to read that next verse. Let's see, where am I? 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. 16. Yeah. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us?
Mm-hmm.
So shall we be separated. And I and the people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So he makes this covenant with Israel right after he decides, after he changed his mind from genocide.
Yeah.
And but now there's some people teaching today, after he made this covenant, there's teaching going around today that since the Jews rejected and murdered their Messiah, that God's finished with them. That's going on today. I got in a couple of arguments. That's the best way to
say it. Open discussion.
Yeah. With the Church of Christ, with the Church of Christ deacon in, what was it, that town down there, Tompkinsville. I got into it with a guy down there, and he tried to convince me that God was finished with a Jew, but he didn't have a leg to stand on.
Right.
Some people teach that, and that stuff's going on right now. And one of the biggest teachers of that, and the strongest people that teach that, is the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
See, they think God's been for the Jew, and they have taken the Jew's place. That's what they're teaching. That's not the case. They're teaching that God's done with Israel as a nation forever. And they use the basis for that. They'll run you to 1 Thessalonians 2:15-16. Let's look at that. 1 Thessalonians 2:15-16. Who both killed the Lord Jesus, there it is, and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. Now this is Jews talking about Jews here. And they please not God and are contrary to all men. And everybody, that's true. Every bit that's true of Israel or the Jew today. That's exactly true of them. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sin always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, they'll use that to say God's finished with Israel or with the Jew. But now, as a people and as a nation, They are Christ rejectors. They are Christ rejectors as a people and a nation. But now there are individual Jews that have received Christ, saved. And but as a nation, yes, they're headed for the wrath of God and they're headed for hell. But they are still, Romans 11:28 says, they are beloved or beloved for the Father's sake. Still, they're beloved for the Father's sake. Look at Romans 11:1-2. Don't ever think God's finished with a Jew. Let me tell you something. Right after the tribulation's over, Second Advent sets in, the Jews going to be running this world. They're going to be running this planet. Romans 11:1-2. Under their Messiah.
Did you see where Barack Obama said he's a Jew?
No.
Yeah, for real.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah. He said, I'm a Jew myself.
I hadn't seen that. But I did see something that was scary.
He went to a mosque.
Hillary, in one of her speeches, some guy asked her if she would make Obama one of the Supreme Court judges. She said, that's a good idea.
And I thought, she's desperate, ain't she?
Yeah.
Hey, one worse than that, the guy in the UN's fixing to retire, and he wants Obama to take his place.
Ben Cavin.
Lordy, lordy, dictatorship to the max.
Hey, it's getting gloriously dark for us, but I just hope it gets dark quick.
Yeah. Global warming's on the way.
I hope we get out of here.
Yeah.
Hope we get out of here. All right, where was it? They're still beloved for the Father's sake.
Yeah.
Romans 11:1-2. Don't ever let anybody try to convince you that God's finished with a Jew and that what Hitler tried to do should be done again. See, that's what it's coming to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Antichrist is going to do in tribulation. And he'll almost wipe them out. But see, that's what they want. People hate the Jews. And the reason they hate the Jews, I'll tell you why they hate the Jews, because Satan hates the Jews. The reason Satan hates the Jews, the Jews give us Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
And they want to annihilate them. The Muslim nations, they put themselves under a vow that they won't stop until the last Jews run off into the sea over there. I can't think of that sea over there. East of Israel. They're not going to be content until they wipe out every last Jew. They've made that boast. They've made that boast. Romans 11:1-2. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now, you get that? God's not finished with a Jew. We can stop right there, and they don't have a foot to stand on. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, and you go through those verses there, you come down to 11 and 12, I say then, verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy, you know, Israel, the Jews had it tough for the last 2,000 years. But boy, I tell you what, if they hadn't failed, what would we be?
Right.
We'd be in a mess. Yeah. I'm glad they failed, but still, it's tough. It's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, look what they've been going through the last 2,000 years. But that's so that we could get the gospel, we could get saved,
right.
And that God could call himself out a Gentile bride, and it was for our benefit. 15:15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? He's going to receive them again.
Right.
What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
25. For I would not, brethren, listen real close, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
Mm-hmm.
26. And so all Israel shall be saved. You got that? When somebody tells you, the next Church of Christ that comes to you and tells you God's finished with the Jew, or the next Roman Catholic comes up to you and says God's finished with the Jew, they took their place. That, look what God said about it. He's not finished with the Jew. All Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That happened at the end of the second advent.
Right.
27, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now, that's not the case right now. That's not the case right now. They're still in darkness. They're still blinded. But at the second advent, he'll take away their sin. And they'll be reinstated. And they will rule this planet under their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the 12 apostles will be sitting on 12 thrones. And they are going to rule this planet under Christ with a rod of iron. There won't be any more slapping the Jew and kicking the Jew around, making him wear a yellow star, putting him in a concentration camp. They're going to run the place. They're going to run the place. And that's all God's plan. And I say amen.
Amen.
God does it right.
Amen.
He does it right. Verse 6.
Absolutely.
Verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. All right, now, that didn't take place the first advent. It didn't happen. This didn't happen the first advent. This is a prophetic statement here that Haggai made of the second advent.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff didn't happen at the first advent. He's going to shake the heavens. Look at Hebrews 12:26. See if we can get through this before we have to do it. Hebrews 12:26. Hebrews 12:26. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now, his voice shook the earth when he came down on Sinai over in the book of Exodus. It shook. The planet mm-hmm. shook. It was a local earthquake. He shook the earth then. But he says, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. Future.
Right.
That's yet future.
Right, right.
Look at verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust. Let me see where I'm at. 12:18. Hebrews 12:18. Pray for us, for we must have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from
wrong
the dead
verse,
our Lord.
Bro.
Huh?
That's wrong scripture.
Yeah, wrong verse.
12:18.
Yeah, for you're not come to mouth that might be touched.
I'm in 13. Excuse me. I can't half see anymore, so you'll have to bear with me. I didn't think that sounded right. Now this sounds better. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched. That was talking about Sinai. You remember what happened over there in the wilderness? For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. You remember what happened there?
Yeah.
It scared them to death.
They said, you go talk to them.
They prayed they were going to get killed
if
he kept talking. It scared them to death.
Yeah.
That was a fearful thing. But you think what's coming. 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. It like scared them to death. That's when he came down on Sinai. Now, at the second advent of Christ, when he comes back, he's not only going to shake the earth, he's going to shake the sky, and he's going to shake outer space.
Amen.
He's going to shake the whole universe. You say, where you get that? Look at Matthew 24:29.
Yeah. Peter, too.
Yeah. It's all through the scripture, but for time, we're going to just look at a couple here. Matthew 24:29. This planet hadn't seen anything yet.
That's right.
Boy, what's coming up, it's going to be so fearful and so violent and so tragic. The Bible says men will die of heart failure. Their hearts are failing. They'll be so scared they'll die of heart attacks when this stuff starts coming on the planet.
Yeah.
Matthew 24:29. Look what happens here. He's going to shake the universe. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Well, that's a shaking when the stars go to fall. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. He's going to shake the principalities and powers of the air out there. He's going to shake them. Look at Mark 13:25. It's almost a repeat of it. And the stars of heaven shall fall. You know, Lord, all he has to do is say something one right. time and it sticks. Yeah. You can bank on it. But he goes over and over and over this. He's warning people. Right. Flee this thing. Get saved. Go out and rapture.
What verse?
Mark 13:25. And the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now notice he said a little while. That's the second advent he's talking about here. Let's look first of all real quick. I think we got time to get through this. Let's look at the order here of Hebrews chapter 12. We just read it. The order here. Now I've told you time and time and time again that your King James Bible is laid out in premillennial order. It's laid out in premillennial order. Hebrews 12 lays out something here in order. Verse 26, in verse 26 of Hebrews 12, you have the second advent of Jesus Christ, whose voice then shook the earth, and now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. That'd be the second advent. We're going to do that second advent. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom.
Amen.
You know what kingdom he's talking about there? That's millennium. You have second advent, then you have a millennium coming up.
Yeah.
Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably in reverence and godly fear. And then you have the universe burned right before the great white throne judgment, verse 29. You know who does the burning, don't you?
Yeah.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Mm-hmm.
He does the burning. Over in Revelation 20 it says, heaven and earth passed away and there was found no place for them. That thing burns up. It burns up. That's the order of Hebrews 12. Now this a little while. This a little while. That's really important statement right there. Those three little words. A little while. Let's talk about the second advent. Hebrews 10:37 says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Which shall devour the adversaries.
10:37.
I'm in 11. Excuse me again.
Yet a little while.
10:37. Look what he says here.
For yet a little while.
Yeah.
He that shall come
won't
come.
I'm going to bring my big print Bible. I got one down here. For yet a little while. There it is again. Three little words. A little while. He says a little while over here in Haggai. He says a little while here in Hebrews. For a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
Woo!
Second advent.
Hallelujah.
That's second advent. Now real quick while we're here. It's the second advent in Hebrews 10:30. Look real quick, turn to John 16. John 16.
Hallelujah, brother.
John 16. Now, in John 16, verse 16 through 19, you'll notice a little while. You notice it in there seven times. Now, that's not to take up space. God don't put stuff in his book to take up space. And it's not vain repetition, like 50 Hail Marys.
No.
All right.
Oh, Lord.
It's not like vain repetition like they do. Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed be the fruit of thy womb. You know, they do that 20 times, say that 20 times, your sin's forgiven you. Hail Mary, full of grapes, blessed be the fruit of the looms. Hey, you can laugh at it because it's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a tragic joke.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't, you know, and it's sad that they're scammed and deceived by that mess.
Yeah,
right.
And it's going to cost them their soul and out in eternity. But still, it's just stuff like, I mean, how can people fall for that stuff? But now, this is not vain repetition here. God didn't put this in here just to take up space.
See how they can fall for that stuff, Brother Mike.
Deception.
Acts 26, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, and the power of Satan, the power of God, they may receive forgiveness of sin.
True.
Heard it come on them which are sanctified by faith in me. That's how they fall for it.
Right. 16, a little while, yeah. A little while. 17, a little while. 18, a little while. 19, a little while. Mm. It's in there seven times. Mm-hmm. It's in there seven times. Now, those seven little whiles represent history. Represent history. They represent seven 1,000 years of history. A little while with the Lord is 1,000 years.
So that's a week.
According to this scripture. Huh?
A week.
Daniel's 70th week, 7 years. All right. Over there, the Bible says in Peter, a day is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. There's 7 days right there, or seven little while. That's seven 1,000-year periods. Then the second advent takes place. After those seven little whiles, on God's calendar is fulfilled, the second advent will take place. You've heard me teach this before. From Adam to Christ was 4,000 years. From Christ to advent will be 2,000 years. And then you'll have the 1,000-year millennium, which is called a rest. That's typified as the seventh day when God rested over in creation. So where are we now? Man, we're in the end of the 6,000th year. The advent is on the horizon.
Hallelujah, brother.
On the horizon. But get this. The rapture has to take place 7 years before the advent.
Yeah.
So we're at the getting off place right now.
Hallelujah.
So how long would it be? Don't know, but it could be 3 years.
Twinkle of an eye.
It could be this year. The Israel became a nation in 1948. That generation won't pass away that sees that thing take place. What's a generation? Deuteronomy 400 years. Matthew is 42 years. Psalms is 70 years. And here's some good hope. Brother brought it up last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
If by reason of strength, fourscore. That's 10 extra years. Mm-hmm. And if that be the case, if that's the time frame, now I'm not setting any dates, I'm just giving you what the Bible says. Our calendar's off, we don't know how much. But if that fourscore by strength, if that's counted as a generation, the rapture could take place in 3 years, and then the advent would take place 7 years later.
Hallelujah.
I hope that's the case.
I'd like to bypass it.
But if it don't, it could be 25 more years to the
rapture. It might be off three years.
And I'd be 90 years old. That odds are I'll have to go by the clods instead of the clouds. I'd rather go by the clouds.
Amen, brother.
Now that's what these prophets, when they were speaking, boy, they were speaking by the Holy Spirit. All this stuff is in here to show you something.
That's right.
It's to show you what's going on, and it's to get you to look up. It's to get you to look up because we're at the getting off place. Our redemption is really close.
Amen.
When this body's going to be changed, get a Christ-like body, glorified body, we're going to be presented faultless before God with joy by Jesus Christ after judgment seat of Christ. That's right on the horizon. That's right on the horizon. That ought to cause you to straighten up and look up.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Mike, I've been corresponding with some gay people, trying to reason with them out of the Scriptures, but some of them know a little bit about the Bible and just trying to be. Why a serpent harmless a dove, but I did not know this. One of them shared this with me. The EMC that Einstein came up with, do you know he came up with that out of Genesis?
E equals MC squared.
Yeah, he came up with it out of Genesis. They explained it, but it was over my head. I can't even remember that. But it was in the creation of everything is how he came up with that formula. It actually proceeded from God, and it's relevant. It works with pretty much everything, but that's where he got it from.
Right.
Genesis chapter 1.
Einstein was a genius.
Oh, yeah, but...
But he said he couldn't believe in a God that he couldn't put into a mathematical formula.
That's right.
And that's probably that was where his problem was.
Yeah.
Speaking about the gays, they can get forgiven just like you
can. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been telling them.
The Bible says the blood of Christ cleanses from all
sin. All sin, yeah.
All sin.
Justified.
Okay, we got to stop here. Yeah. Scotty will be back on deck next week. We'll pick this up next time. Okay, you just made it.